on this episode of Let's Get Frank. It's Seattle Frank. He was born in the Philippines, but moved to Seattle when he was 5 years old. He's 39 now. He's a general contractor that runs his own business doing home renovations in Washington State. He's passionate about mentoring young people in business and in life. Is he the Frank that Bibi's been looking for?
Annabelle, Miss Annabelle Knight, I've missed you, our resident sex relationship dating coach, who's also a best-selling author and TV presenter with a range of sex toys. How have you been?
I have been okay, and that is about as far as I can go.
Hang on, I'm sensing a deep-throated, that well, I certainly didn't mean that, a deep-voiced story. I really am feeling very poorly, so I'm hoping Frank, do I tell Frank, is it okay to go in on a date and just say?
I think it's more than acceptable to say, look, I'm not feeling 100%, but I really didn't want to put this off because I'm so looking forward to chatting with you. And, you know, then if anything happens that is because you don't feel very well, you have, you know, got that excuse and you've laid that foundations early doors. If you don't say anything and then at the end of the date, you're like, oh God, that was rubbish because I was so ill. And then you say you're ill. It sounds like kind of shutting the door after the horse has bolted kind of thing. So I definitely bring it up earlier rather than later.
I like this. Should I be wearing a nurse's outfit? I'm not wearing a nurse's outfit because that'd be silly because I'm ill. I don't need a nurse's outfit. So talking of blame, I wanted to ask you, before we talk about this week's Frank, I wanted to ask you about rejection. Now, I know you've never encountered that because of you are who you are. But if you've had a good day and you thought, yeah, they like me, and then nothing happens, how helpful is, because I know friends would say, oh, yeah, but it's not you, it's them. But how helpful is that to go down that route? Because you're not going to learn anything, are you?
Well, do you know what? It is quite helpful to say it's not me, it's them, because if it wasn't them, you would be together. So while you can look internally and say, like, what did I do wrong? The fact that you did those things in the first place means that you're not a good match. So I think rejection is something that it's very harshly felt. It's quite a sting. It's very easy to let your kind of inner demons and your insecurities bubble up to the surface and focus on those things and kind of assign blame to that part of your personality or that element of you. But it's actually not very helpful in the long run because those things are very unlikely to change. So instead, what I would say is like, you know, that person rejected me, in inverted commas, because of who I am. But that's fine because you would have to change to be accepted by that person. And no, you don't want to do that. So I think it's actually quite a good thing if you can get yourself in the right mindset to appreciate that rejection is just kind of an opportunity to find the right person.
Let's reframe this. So it's not rejection, it's redirection. But a voice in my head just said redirection, Annabelle. Redirection, is that a way of looking at it?
Yeah, it's more of a redirection, definitely.
But it is still their fault, not mine.
Yeah, absolutely. That.
Would you think if someone rejected me, they're a freaking freak? You would, wouldn't you? professionally speaking.
Yeah, professionally, that's the exact term I would use. I would say that I actually would say it's not worth considering, you know, them at a post-rejection because they're just not worth it. Whether or not you feel that way in the moment, it's actually the truth. And we can all think of times when we've been rejected in our past, which felt like the worst thing in the world at the time. But as we get older and we, you know, get a little bit of distance from the event, it doesn't seem that bad. And you, when you've got your thinking cap on and your head is clear and straight, you think, well, I wouldn't have wanted to go out with him anyway or them.
I really love that. And it's like, you know, it's like dodged a bullet, isn't it? And it's not even, I'm not even saying they're a bad person or they're, you know, it's just, they're not, it's not a fit, is it?
Exactly.
That's what dating's about, isn't it?
Fit.
It's the fit. Yeah. And as I say that, I'm doing the hand fit. I'm doing my fingers fitting into my other fingers. Because that's exactly what it is. It doesn't mean someone's right or wrong, does it? It just means whether you two are
exactly
right together.
But I think quite a lot of the time, the society is geared up to win. Like losing isn't looked on favorably. And the dating game does feel like a game where you win or lose. And if you get rejected, you can feel like a loss. And some people find themselves going the extra mile to win that person back, to prove that they're worthy by changing things about themselves, which you can do in the short term. You can, you know, laugh at their rubbish jokes and you can cook them meals. But really what happens is as your time with that person goes on, your true self comes forward. And if that's not the person that the other person wanted in the first place, then the relationship is doomed to fail and it's just greater heartache down the line. So I would say make sure you have kind of a steadfast belief in that you are a good person, you're fun to be with, you are worth love, and hold on for the right fit.
I really love this. I went to see our friend Madame Storm recently. Madame Storm, Miss Erica Storm, aka Madame Storm, international dominatrix, woman's confidence coach, empowerment coach. I mean, just all around badass, brilliant woman. She's incredible. And she said something, and I just thought, oh, I love this. And she just said, today I'm going to decide that I'm going to strut into my power and stand in my truth.
Oh, I love that. I actually do something. She didn't teach me personally. She was kind of putting stuff on her social media. And it was about kind of looking at yourself in the mirror and holding your own gaze. And it's really kind of this sense of power and control washes over you when you do it for a few minutes. And because I am quite a timid person day to day, I'm not very confrontational, and I'd rather die than tell someone what I think if it's going to upset them, because it's not my personality. But I had to go into this meeting and I absolutely had to be steadfast in who I am and say what I think. And I was really worried I was going to let myself down. So I went straight over to her Instagram page and scrolled for some kind of helpful advice, and it absolutely worked. And I felt $1 million going in there.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I love that. I love Storm. I love you, and I love you both. And I'll tell you why, because I think you're both real deal. And I've always said that. I've interviewed a lot of people that say they're coaches and say they're this and say they're that, and it's never felt genuine. And never felt, not never, but it's rarely felt genuine. It's rarely felt from the heart. And I love that about you and Storm.
Aw, it's made me all warm and fuzzy.
No, it should. I'm sorry about that. So this date specifically, let me tell you about Frank. So he runs his own business. He mentors young people and he's got children. So of course, the generous, loving soul that I am, where the hell do I fit in? How will he have time for me?
He will have time for you. You make time for the things that are important to you. And you may have to slightly adjust expectation at some point, but it's not just, how does he make time for you? You have to think about how you're going to, like what you're going to do if you like this person, how you're going to fit into their lives as well as them fitting into yours. It's a constant conversation being in a relationship of meeting someone halfway, of giving and of taking. And especially if someone has, I mean, you say he runs his own business. So do you. You are the business. You're the brand. You are, a very successful woman. And he, on the flip side, will probably feel, he might think, well, why does she need me? So it's a good idea to think, both sides of the coin. What's he feeling or what might he feel? And how can I alleviate any fears he might have, as well as getting clarity on any fears that I might have?
He's also divorced. How much does our romantic past affect our romantic present and future, do you think?
Honestly, and people are going to roll their eyes at this, I think they are lessons learnt and it changes who you are as a person. But a lot of people will think, there's a lot of talk in the media now. A rapper said it really matters to him what his partner's body count is, so how many people that person has slept with. And it has caused a huge amount of controversy because we all say, well, why does it matter? You're not dating that person from the past. You're dating this person in the present. And that's how I very much feel about it. While you learn lessons from your past relationships, you take those lessons into your new relationships, not the past relationships in there. So it can be a difficult pill for some people to swallow because they would very much like for their potential partner to have a clean slate, so to speak. I know of women that have dated and been in relationships with men and they've made them buy new beds because an ex might have slept in it. And I'm not joking. I actually know someone who made their partner buy a new house, move homes because he had shared it with a previous partner. So yeah, there's definitely this kind of unhealthy idea that you want. Again, it's that brand new shininess. It's that, oh, this is just for me. But we are complicated beings as humans and we have pasts. And especially as you get older, it would be naive and very damaging to your future happiness to discount anyone that has a past. You can just take them for who they are in the present moment and during the date.
You're totally right. And also, if someone's got no past, then you're like,
I would find that more concerning.
You know nothing. Yeah, you know nothing exactly. Then about how this is going to be or how this could be or should be.
Exactly. And past relationships are so important for managing conflict and learning to compromise. And, you know, if you don't have any of that, you're going in, like, would you date someone who was like, say, 17 mentally? Because it's the same kind of thing when it comes to relationships. Mm. Neither of them have any experience.
No, I would not again.
Although my 17-year-old boyfriend when I was 17, not the one I've got now, that sounds like, oh, no.
No, finish the sentence. I insist you finish that sentence.
When I was 17, I had a very lovely boyfriend who has turned into a very lovely man friend. So
you're still in touch?
Yeah, we've got similar like kind of group. Our friendship groups overlap. So sometimes there's a wedding and I see him and his wife and, you know, it's all very grown up and amicable and just really nice. Like there's no stress or drama and it's a lovely thing to have.
That's so lovely. I can't. Do I have an equivalent? No. That's really lovely, though. Well done, you. So today's Frank. I don't know when he got divorced, and I don't think he's dated for a while. And I'm assuming he hasn't since the divorce. How do you know if you're a rebound?
Oh, that is a tricky question. Well, time is a factor. You know, if his divorce was finalized last week, it's probably not a good idea to enter into a date with someone that is potentially looking for, you know, a bit of fun and to get back into the dating game, because you don't want to be their experiment to see whether they're ready or not. But relationships end at that. It's so complicated. Just because there's a, you know, a date and time on the divorce papers doesn't mean that's the time when they emotionally divorced from one another. Relationships can be over months, if not years, before the final divorce papers come through. So, I mean, I would veer towards a few questions about where he's at, perhaps ask if he's been dating at all and, you know, what he's looking for in terms of not a person to spend time with, but what he's looking for in terms of a relationship. Is he looking for, you know, I want to see where it goes, or is he like, no, I'm totally ready to commit? Because the answers to those questions very much have an impact on whether you decide you want to emotionally invest in him.
And I guess as well, and this is a terrible thing to say, but let's face it, I've had a whole career based on doing exactly that. I guess it matters as well. Oh no, it doesn't matter. Does it matter? I don't know. That who broke up the relationship? Because
I mean,
what
it
if
can
still,
definitely
like, in love. That, then you
well,
can't compete,
that's
then
for that's... you to try and figure out. Because if he is still holding a candle for his ex-wife, then there's really no point pursuing anything until that candle has been snuffed out. And there are plenty of people who would, you know, put in the time and try and snuff that candle out themselves. But honestly, that is a lot of hard work. Let him go off and do his dating thing and wait until he gets like a clearer mindset of what he's after. And then say, you know, if you're ever in the frame of mind where you do want to go on a date in the future, you've got my number. It, just because you close the door at that particular moment doesn't mean you can't open it again at a later date.
What really makes me laugh is, like, I love our chats, but I always think afterwards, if the Frank listens to our chats, that they're going to, you know, they'd be forgiven for believing that I'm going to turn up to the date wearing a white dress and a veil. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, well, just in case they are listening, she's not.
She's not. But my head does do that. I think people do that. I don't know if everyone does it, but I certainly do. I take things four steps too far in life and in dating.
Well, let's try and take a breather. For your little challenge for this date, just before you say anything, just take a beat. I just want you to take a beat, a little reflection, and either say what you were going to say or just allow that beat to give you that tiny moment of clarity where you can say, that's probably for another time. You're just going to be silent, aren't you?
I'm pretty much going to just get a good book out. Even though you and I have said before that you are allowed to say what you want in relationship, you are allowed to say what you're looking for, even on a first date.
Yes, but if you're telling me that sometimes what I want, I say what I want and then I regret it later because I've moved too fast, just take a moment to ponder whether that is something you really do want to say or whether kind of the flow of conversation has just swept you away a little bit.
Yeah, I am guilty of that. I am guilty of that, my lud. Okay, I'm feeling psyched. I'm still feeling poorly, but I'm feeling psyched. My eyes are burning. I want you to look at me later, Annabelle, and tell me out of 10 how hideous I look, but we'll do that
okay.
After. Give me the pep talk, Toots. Help me get that second date.
Okay, pep talk time. Sit down, take a deep breath, get your mind right. Remember these three things. You are fantastic. You are independent and you are worthy of love. And anyone who is sat across from you, whether that's on a virtual date or a date, I almost said IRL because I spend a lot of time on the internet, whether that's a virtual date or an in real life date, that person sat opposite you will feel that if you feel it yourself. So do not play yourself down. Do not lower your bar. Keep it high. Keep yourself on the right path to finding that perfect partner.
I'm strutting into my power and then exactly. I'm standing in my truth.
Strut into your power and stand in your truth.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, Frank, prepare yourself. You shouldn't have asked me that question. I don't feel well.
Oh, no.
I suddenly got hit. Hello, it's lovely to see you. Thank you so much for doing this. I know it's early, so you're really lovely. Oh, Frank, I feel like I might have the Rona. I haven't had it yet, but I suddenly feel really ill. Have you had it?
I did. I had it last August and it was the worst experience I've ever been through. It was the worst flu. I was down for about a week. So
hopefully
it's just a minor cold for you.
This is what I'm hoping. So I did my little lateral flow. This is sexy talk, isn't it? I did my little lateral flow. This might be the hottest call you're ever going to have, Frank. Prepare yourself. And then I'm wearing a sweatshirt because I'm freezing. And I've ordered my PCR. But So how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I actually have today off. So this actually worked out great.
Thank you for doing this. So you know what I love about you? Lots of things. But I love that you're from a family, a long line of Franks. That's so cool.
Yeah. So Juliet told you. Yeah. So my dad's name is Francisco. I had a late brother named Francis. And so I'm Frank.
Why is there the family connection, do you think? Why did your family go with Frank so much?
That's an interesting question. I really don't know. I think it was just...
You've never asked.
I guess I never really asked and my parents never really gave me a straight answer. So
I wonder what Frank means.
I kind of just went along with it, you know? I'm stuck with it for the rest of my life.
That's okay. It's a brilliant name. I don't have kids, but I always thought if I had children, I'd call them Frank or Frankie. I always had that name in my head.
So is that right?
It's weird, isn't it? It's not why the podcast happened, but
Did you see how I spell it with a C, not a K?
You got it with a C. Well done. Yeah. Is that a deliberate?
Yeah. So like I said, it was cut off from my dad being Francisco and then Francis and then Frank. And so I get different. People call me Frank, you know.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting name, definitely.
Now, see, I'm not only ill, I'm short-sighted. So what I'm looking in the background, is that a suitcase? Are you ready to leave?
No. Is it a... Oh, you're talking about this?
Yeah.
No, that's a little picture frame of my kids, and that's a shelf. I wish I was leaving somewhere. I wish I was
Frank,
leaving
I'm falling apart.
It's COVID talking, right?
Rona's taken my eyesight, my sense. I went shopping today, Frank. Again, I'm adding to the erotic nature of this phone call. I went to Boots, the chemist, to buy toothpaste and similar, and left it on a bench and then got home. And I was like, yeah, I never do stuff like that. People that do stuff like that annoy me. But now I'm that person.
So now you're that person.
Yeah,
but I wish I was going on a trip, though. I mean, I wish that was a suitcase, but unfortunately, I'm not.
So you're in Seattle?
I am in Seattle.
How's Seattle? I've never been.
Very, very dark and gloomy right now.
Is it a great place to live?
It is. It really is. It's a great place to live. I mean, you got the mountains. That's like less than an hour away. I live by the water. I live by Puget Sound.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great places to hike. And so Yeah, it's a great place to live. It's expensive, very expensive.
Shock me. Give me some. Honestly, I'm obsessed with house prices. I'm obsessed with rents and how expensive they all are. Actually, don't talk about it because it will get me both. We'll both get depressed. So you know, my Frank for this podcast is a human rights lawyer. Now, I don't believe you're a human rights lawyer.
No.
Tell me what your business is.
So I am a general contractor. So I remodel bathrooms and kitchens.
Oh, cool.
I started this about 18 months ago. I had zero experience except for a lot of DIY projects at home. And a good buddy of mine, actually, he's been in the industry for 25 years and he wanted to start his own business and he wanted me to join him. And we've been pretty successful, actually, especially out here with the booming market when it comes to homes. So a lot of people are wanting to remodel, especially their kitchens and remodels. So it's been an interesting ride. We've been keeping pretty busy.
Real leap of faith to do something that I guess in your heart you thought you could do. And you know, but especially like during the pandemic, did that feel super risky?
It was very risky considering I was in telecommunications before. And so I did a lot of hands-on with like electronics and whatnot. And so this is a completely different career change for me. But it's interesting. It was, like I said, my buddy Ed, he's been in an industry for 25 years. He's been a contractor for 25 years. So we just kind of picked up our tools and we kind of just went for it.
What's the most outrageous thing you've seen in someone's house?
Outrageous thing. A lot of dead animals inside walls.
Oh my God.
It was, yes.
Deliberately placed or just
life happened. I hope not. But no. When you start tearing houses apart and walls, you find some very interesting stuff. Yeah.
Do you think I love the idea of this. It must be a real, a satisfying job to do.
It really is. It's really rewarding at the end of the day, because people spend a lot of money, right? And they envision what their houses could look like, their kitchens and their bathrooms, which most people spend most of their time in the kitchen, in the bathroom, I guess, right? And so it's really rewarding when they see the end result and they're, you know, when they're satisfied, it's a great feeling.
Yeah. And it's something that they really want to be perfect as well, isn't it? So it's a real, I guess, responsibility too, to make them, you know, you're delivering their dream. Frank, you're making the dreams come true.
It really is.
That's what you're doing.
It is. This is exactly what we're doing. And I'm happy with it. It's fun. It's a lot of work. It's hard on my body for sure. I'm going to be 40 this year, so it's not easy, you know. But
how you feeling about 40?
I feel great, actually.
Do you?
No lie. Actually, I was in pretty bad shape a couple years ago, and so I decided that I needed to change my lifestyle. I started eating healthier. I started going to the gym more frequent. And I haven't felt this good since I was in my early 20s.
Oh my God, good for you. You do look gorgeous. If I may casually say that in a non-creepy way.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. That's great though. Because some people freak out about 40, don't they?
Actually, I'm excited about my 40s. My 30s, so I have two kids. So I have almost 10-year-old daughter. And yeah. I have a 7-year-old son. And so in my 30s, I was raising kids. And now that they're older, they're able to kind of manage themselves a little bit. And 40, 40 is, I feel like 40 is going to be a great, great time for me.
Because it's still young enough to have adventures and to start again, isn't it? And make stuff how you want it to be. So you've got life behind you, but also life in front of you. Yeah, I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And plus now they can wash their own dishes and change their own clothes, you know?
Are you strict? Do you think you're a strict dad?
I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm strict. I'm very, I'm easygoing. I'm a kid at heart. So we definitely have a good time. We definitely have a good time when we're around each other, for sure.
Oh, that's so cute. Do they get on? I always love that about siblings. Do they get on, boy and girl?
Yes, they get along very well, actually. It's, aww. Yeah, they're honestly, they're best friends. They can't leave each other.
That's so cute.
They're always taking care of each other, especially with my daughter. Her name's Colby. And my son is Jax. She really takes really good care of him. It's the cutest thing, actually.
That's so sweet. How lovely. So is this your first Zoom date?
This is my first Zoom date, yes.
You're being spoiled. You're being spoiled by someone in a
an
88-year-old sweatshirt. who could faint at any minute.
And honestly, I was so nervous. I was telling Juliet, I was so nervous because I wasn't really know what to expect. And I'm like, you know, it's first thing in the morning. And so like not a whole lot of energy, but we'll work with it.
Oh, don't be nervous. You're dealing with an idiot. Anything you say or do, you're going to look great. I'm the one. It's over for me. It's over for me, Frank. It's over. It's fine. Have you been dating in real life? Have you been out and about?
Well, especially with the pandemic, it's been really hard. Definitely hard. I'm the type of person that likes to meet people in person. The whole online dating thing never really worked for me. I felt like it was forced. It was a lot of pressure. I recently did meet somebody. And she's amazing.
Who? Oh, is she?
Yes.
Oh, is she? Is she?
So she's actually much younger than me.
Get off the line, Frank.
No, okay.
Lovely speaking to you. Bye.
But yeah, so dating, it was pretty rough the last couple of years, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is that thing, isn't there, of, I remember of that physical thing when you meet someone that, and you could still happen. It still can happen, I guess, if you meet someone online, like it's instigated online, and then you actually meet them later. But there feels like there's nothing quite like that chemical pheromone boost or burst of when I remember walking to an office, and I was supposed to meet someone there, and they stood up and they smiled at me, and it was like that John Travolta smile in Grease. You know, when he turns around. And Frank, in my head, I was thinking, please be gay because I can't talk to you. Please be gay because I will not be able to have a conversation with you. And to get that feeling, that's what makes you feel, just that feeling's incredible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really is.
So tell me about my love rival.
Your love rival?
Yes, this girl.
Well, she doesn't
You don't have to say anything.
She doesn't have COVID at the moment, so.
Damn you both.
I mean, that's...
I can't believe I lost because of COVID.
But you look great in your sweatshirt, though.
Thank you very much. That's so sweet, though. Are you excited about this relationship?
I am.
Are you?
She also has. Well, she has a daughter. And we've officially introduced our kids to each other, and they are amazing together.
Okay, that's cool, because that's huge, isn't it?
It is.
So I guess I need to ask you now, do you know any Franks that are single that would marry me? I don't want to put you on the spot in any kind of way. I don't want you to feel awkward. I don't want you to grab that suitcase and run.
I don't know any other Franks, unfortunately. I really don't. Ooh.
So this podcast came about because I said to my friend Max, just empty your mind and tell me the name of the person you think I'm going to be with. And they said, Frank, a human rights lawyer. Talk about narrow those odds.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They could have said John the accountant, couldn't they?
Right.
Paul the builder. You know, it's just a chance. Yeah, yeah. I'm worried about animals in your walls.
My animals in my walls.
I'm worried about the animals that you found in people's walls. Behind the walls, the dead animals.
What do you mean? It happens all the time.
What do you mean? That's going to be the name of my autobiography. What do you mean? But I'll try and do. Okay, so look, Frank, because we're not going to get married now, and I'm absolutely hopeful. I'm broken hearted about that. And I think, to be honest with you, you could have broken that to me in a gentle way. is that hurt behind you? No, I'm teasing. But what am I doing right and wrong in dates? In this date so far, did it put you off that I started off in such a sexy manner talking to you about my illness?
I actually thought it was very sexy. you could be upfront and be lenient. Yeah. No, I think you're definitely doing good. I really appreciate a woman who can basically be upfront and be lenient, or transparent is the word I'm looking for, transparent. I don't like the whole, I like the whole joking around, the laughing and joking around. So you're doing good.
Oh, thank you. Hey, where did you go for a first date with your new girlfriend?
Oh, so we actually went, there's a park in Seattle called Discovery Park. And so we just walked along the beach, and there's a little lighthouse there. And then we went and got Froyo, I believe it was called.
Oh, frozen yogurt.
Yeah.
So me and Rona took a little while then. Froyo, okay.
Froyo, yeah. Maybe that's a Seattleite thing that we say, Froyo.
Okay, yeah, I like it.
So yeah, that was our first date.
And did you know straight away that she was something special?
Yes. So I actually met her through a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine. And I remember spending some time with her before we started seeing each other. And it was, I knew that she was special for sure.
Oh, it was such fun. Thank you so much. And even though you broke my heart, I wish you all love and happiness. It's so lovely. I love your story. Have a lovely day.
You too. Thank you.
How did I do, Annabelle?
Oh, that was a nice date. It was very pleasant to listen to. If I could change one thing about it, it would be that he would have been single, but he was not. I was a little bit of a shock halfway through. But no, as far as dates go, it was, I mean, if I'm going to call a spade, it was marginally one-sided after the girlfriend revelation, but I felt like you were just reeling a little bit and questions were just coming out, so it kept the awkward pauses at bay. But no, on the whole, he was a lovely person. He had such a nice vibe, you know, really easy to talk to, as you did. And he actually opened the date with a question, which was brilliant, because he, out of the pair of you, he was the first one to ask. So it was, he did well.
Yeah, he did well. He was lovely, wasn't he? Really, really lovely. I do regret mentioning the dead animals as often as I did.
Oh, on the second round, I was like, why is she talking about this? He couldn't stop. What do you mean? And then the moment where you had to reiterate what you meant.
Had to explain
it. All I want to do was say, what you'd say now, Bibi, is that moment where I told you to just have a pause and think, do I really want to say this? That should have happened there, and you should have gone, oh no, it doesn't matter. Anyway, but no, yeah, we carried on talking about dead animals.
That didn't happen. And I really did think it was a suitcase. I think Rona's got me. I think Rona's got me good.
I think Rona has.
Yeah, I think Rona's got me. I really liked Frank. He was really lovely. And it's so weird because there's no attachment because, you know, I don't know him, but it does. It does change the dynamic, doesn't it? Suddenly when someone does say that they're with someone.
Well, yeah, you don't have anything to lose now. You're just getting to know someone for the sake of getting to know them. There's no potential. It can't go anywhere because they're taken. So it's almost the purest form of a date, really.
And you know what? Maybe that's a good technique. Maybe that's a good technique to actually
date people that have got partners.
I am married. Anyway, would you like a drink, a little baby sham? Yeah. And then see how you get on. And then go, I'm not married. And then the whole thing's based on a lie. Surprise. Yeah. So what did you think? What were your three main points of analysis?
I thought even though you feel poorly, I thought you put on a rather spectacular a show of effort. You were really interested and interesting. And, you know, the conversation flowed really nicely. I think when it comes to this Frank, and by the way, I Googled what the name Frank means, and Google tells me it means Frenchman or free man.
Oh, that's interesting.
Maybe we should have gone to Paris instead of Seattle.
Interesting. We haven't found a free Frank yet either.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Yeah. Oh, well done. Well researched. Well done, you.
And for the rest of the date, you know, I thought you handled the, I saw your face when you said, I actually met someone and there was a little kind of nasal twitch, like a nostril flare. And I thought, oh, not happy about that, but she's going with it. It's fine. And then mere moments later, he dropped the bombshell and she's younger. And I felt it for you. And I thought, oh God, Frank, why did you do that? But you handled it beautifully. You never made him feel like he was a bad person for agreeing to be on the podcast when he had a partner. I thought, you know, you did wonderfully. Frank did wonderfully.
Yeah, really liked him. Is there any lessons that listeners could take home?
It's not so much a lesson from the date itself, but from what was said. In that date, Frank said, you were asking about his girlfriend, how did you meet? And he said, oh, well, we hung out loads before we started dating. And I just think friends to boyfriend and girlfriend is just such a lovely journey to go on. And it really allows you to get to know that person in kind of a more relaxed environment. Even though he did say, like, I knew from the second I met her, he didn't push it. He let the journey of them start slowly and build. And I think they'll probably have a much stronger foundation because of that.
I really, really love that. How do you stop that relationship though going into friend zone? How do you staying in friend zone rather?
I think you have to take your lead from the other person, and you also have to be a little bit kind of insert your desires in kind of earlier than what you would do if you were just staying friends, but later than what you would do if you were meeting on, say, like a dating app. I really like that he said, oh, I'm not a massive fan of the online dating, because from the word go, it's, well, we all have our agenda and we all know what the other person wants. And the way he did it was to, you know, build a friendship, build a foundation, and then take it to the next level. But, you know, I know people that have been friends for years and years and years, fully friend zoned, and then realized they had feelings for one another. So
really?
I don't think there's ever a time limit on these things. It depends on the people.
So friend zone doesn't mean friend zone. That's just a kind of shorthand. It doesn't actually mean it's
the word. The term friend zone does bother me slightly.
Oh, good.
In the fact that I think when some people use it, they use it as a negative. Like, I'm this person. Unless I'm getting like the kind of sexual side of it and those benefits, I'm not interested in knowing that person. And I think it's throwing the baby out with the bathwater a little bit. I think a lot of solid friendships have been looked over, or what could have been a solid friendship has been looked over, because there isn't the romantic connection there.
I love this. I love this. You friend zoned me.
I friend zoned you.
Yes.
That's the Rona talking. You know that's not true.
How have I made any sense today?
I don't know what noise that was.
That's the noise of a nervous woman.
I have started to sweat, which is really nice because I'm wearing three layers. Yes, you did.
Good.
I don't think Frank really noticed the kind of couple of stumbles. I think he had a really good time. Like, I was watching his body language. It was super relaxed. He was smiling. He, at one point you were talking and he physically moved forward towards the camera, so showing his interest in a physical way. I don't think he was put off by the state of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was a beautiful state.
That was beautifully, beautifully put. Now, and I'm going to ask this, and I've got to say, it's beneath me, it's beneath you, it's beneath Frank, it's beneath all of us to do this. It's beneath our lovely listener, because, you know, who are we to bring love down to a percentage? Well, I'm going to ask you, what's my percentage chance of Frank, who has a girlfriend, dating me again?
Well, do you know what? I will answer that question as if Frank didn't have a girlfriend. I would have said it was reasonably high. I'd say probably 70%. I think distance may put him off, and time zones. For example, it was extraordinarily early in the morning for him, while it's quite late in the evening for us. Distance may put him off. But in, you know, the cold light of day, he does have a partner. So I'm going to say it's pretty low. I'm going to give you, it's probably greater than last week's Frank, but not by much. So I'll go 5%.
Thanks for your time, Annabelle.
I love this. I really know how to kick you when you're down.
Thanks so much. I hope I don't die until, you know, before we next speak.
I hope
speak.
You don't die. You should text me if you need anything and I will order a delivery of something for you.
Oh, how delicious. I need a Frank.
Well, goodness, your cooking could really, you know, final nail in the coffin for you.
I know. I love it. I love it when I ask our Franks if they can cook and I really want one of them to go, can you cook? And I go, well... And then just gone. And then I don't know whether I'd lie or not.
No, you can't lie because if it ever goes further down, like, but you could kill someone. The level of carcinogens in your cooking is dangerously high.
Thank you very much. thank you very much. Honestly.
Always order a takeaway. That's my advice.
That was my date with Seattle Frank. I loved him. How brilliant! And he was such a good sport. And I don't know what I was talking about, and Rona owes me an apology / career, but that was Seattle Frank and he was brilliant. Thank you so much to our brilliant dating coach, the fabulous Annabelle Knight. Huge thank you to today's wonderful Frank, and thank you for listening. Please rate, subscribe, follow, and leave us a review to help other people find us. Keep listening and join me next time in my deeply personal and yet highly public quest to find my Frank. See you then.